Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Thank you very much. That was fun going on the road to Appleton, planting trees.
It was great.
And that was a good time.
And what it takes, and you know this, everybody knows this, but it takes the community to really make to make a city special, right? And those were all volunteers. And there was about, 40 people out there?
Yeah.
Plus, you know.
I would love to get one of those jobs like the city guy had there. Andy, I would love to get a job like that.
You heard what he said. I mean, he's got a degree.
And, yeah, I know.
Yeah, you know, he's got that. No,
so,
that's not going
to happen. So, true story, we sent some pictures to our corporate office while you guys were out there filming and stuff.
Yeah.
And there was notations from several members on the staff saying, no power tools for Mino. We don't have insurance for that. So, yeah.
And they don't even know you that well. Yeah. So, those of us who do, yes, all underscore right. that.
Fine.
But that is, to work in the forestry and parks, whatever they call the department, park and rec department, that is cool because you are outside.
Absolutely.
And you, they do have really good equipment. Like even that,
that thing
that
he had was
thing
awesome.
He was talking about. And
what did that thing do exactly?
It smoothed out the whole yard, everything.
Yeah,
just smoothed it out perfectly.
Yeah. And then that little payloader.
Yeah.
You know, that's a cool
I'd like to have
toy.
One of those, man.
That's
I would
cool
be
toy.
Good with one of those.
It's not too big. And I just, you know, then I just everything.
By the way,
the truck,
you need to loan me.
Thing.
Can you do me a favor? Can you loan me $80?
Now, John, you still owe me 40 for that book. 10 for the, that thing that we were with down in Madison.
Yeah.
Because you bought that raffle ticket, which I don't even know if we won. I wish we would have. But anyway, so what do you want? 80 on top of that? 80, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13. Okay. All right, what do you need it for?
They got these wood splitters that are amazing. It's like, remember when you're in school and you're a kid and they had the paper cutters?
Oh,
and the
teachers
always like, you can't use that, you'll lose a finger.
Yeah. Right.
Remember that? They make those now to make kindling for wood. So I want to bring it out to the deer camp. And you attach it to a wall and it's like this big blade and you put the thing.
My dad had one of those.
Did he really?
Oh my gosh, yes. That brought back memories.
Yes.
Yes, he had one of those.
I would love one of those because kindling is always so hard. You know what I mean? To try to get it small enough with the axe.
But isn't there, can't you just hook like a machine up, you'd bring like tow it with your car and then you just put the log in there and it
splits.
Well,
that's a log splitter. That's why I tore my labium in my shoulder.
Labium.
Is there such a thing as a labia?
No, he makes that up.
We were talking about that the other
day. He talks so fast, like we're not going to catch it, John. No,
No, we were talking to somebody the other day that had a torn labium.
Oh, labrum.
Yeah.
Labrum. Okay,
I've got one
too. Labium. Labium. Yeah, that labium. Yeah, that's what it was, John. Okay, how did you do that?
It's right here, because remember she even said where hers was hurting?
Yeah, but
that's the same place as mine. And they did it from trying to pull the log splitter so many times.
To get it started?
No. We had to take it in, spent like $500, get it fixed.
Why don't you just rent one? Go to Martin. Just rent one.
They don't rent stuff in the
UP.
Yes,
they do.
No, they don't.
Oh, the UP.
Not the UP.
Oh,
they don't rent stuff.
That's what I'm saying. Do you have a trailer hitch on your car?
Yeah. No, I don't. No, I don't think I do.
I don't think I do. Don't you kind of know?
It's a used car. I don't know what they had on it.
All right. So that thing that you're talking about, though, that's like almost like a can crusher. It's okay. I know.
Yes.
That's what's manual.
Yes.
Okay. So you can like hang on it if it's.
Yes. Yes.
It's coming on my show.
Okay. yes, I want one of those, but they're $80. Can you loan me $80? I will pay you back, I swear.
80? That seems like a pretty good deal.
I know. Todd, have you seen those? You can look them up. The manual.
Yeah.
Oh, they're awesome.
They're really sharp.
Yes.
And my dad
But
had
you could
one.
Lose a finger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to do it. No, because you're going to lose a finger and you're going to come back and you're going to get some ambulance chaser and he's going to say, look, you shouldn't have bought that for him. You knew he was incompetent. You knew he didn't have the technical ability. That's what the lawsuit would say, John.
Oh.
And the judge would say, Mr. Schmidt, you know John Minor? Yeah, I kind of do, Your Honor. Do you know that he's, kind of fumbling a little bit and that doesn't have the skill set to operate one of these things? And, well, yeah, I guess I thought that. Well, then you shouldn't have lent him the money and... So his damages of $10,000 you're gonna have to pay for. I'm not gonna do that. So
I could make $10,000.
No, if you cut a finger off and you go and
I would give a finger for 10 grand.
God, don't say that.
One finger? Yeah, I would.
Never. Are you kidding?
For 10 grand?
That's all? Oh, my God. One little finger? Nothing. Oh, you know, John.
I got to tell you,
you got to be kidding. That's nuts.
I had to get a
I wouldn't give a fingernail for 10 grand. I would.
All right.
Okay.
I had to get a Lloyd's of London insurance policy one time.
Mm. Yeah, those guys insure big stuff. What was it for?
When I went to Iraq or Afghanistan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it lists how much, a whole list. A foot is worth this much. Right. A hand is worth this much. An arm is worth this much. It literally lists everything in the policy.
Let me just tell you that's general. That's like an average. Because of course, they look at your age. But sometimes if in a lawsuit, I mean, they'll look at a limb and what it cost, or even a death, what your body's, what you're worth. But then when you go into the punitive side of it, they make you out to be like Mother Teresa, you know, and then what a loss you are to the family.
Oh, you're going
to take care of your grandkids.
He
was the guy that was going to step in when then that's when the dollars really, because that limb stuff is really not that expensive, right?
It's not.
It's not.
It's
some of that stuff.
I'll bring it in. I still got it. I just found it the other day. I still got it where it lists everything potentially that could happen to you and how much they'll pay if that happens.
At your age. Yeah. When you're 50 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not the end
all. But a lot of pro athletes get that. A lot of college athletes get those Lloyd's of London things.
Yeah.
If they get an injury, like tear up their knee, and then their future, you know, earnings with football isn't going to happen. A lot of people get those.
That tight end for the Packers got that. I kind of liked him. He did some.
JerMichael Finley?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had one.
Yeah.
You're right.
He's a nice guy. I liked him. I mean, he helped me out with some stuff. But and it worked for him, right? I mean, he got it in time before he got injured and all that.
Yeah. Did you like him?
I did.
I wasn't a big fan.
Yeah, a lot of people. I liked him. Yes, okay. I did, John. He was.
He physically had every gift in the world to be one of the best tight ends in the history of the game.
Always rolled his shirt up to just show his. He was.
I mean, I do that, but still.
that's because he can't get it down.
I was going to do purposely, that the day planting trees.
He purposely rolled his shirt up, John.
I know.
It wasn't like he could get his shirt tucked in if he wanted to.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is he was 6'6".
Oh, yeah.
Ran like a wide receiver, strong, had everything in every gift you could imagine, and he just didn't put it all together.
Really? I didn't know him that. I didn't know that side of him.
A certain guy. I remember they had a tight end. Yeah. What was his name? I can't remember his name. And he had a tattoo on his arm. It said, God's gift. Okay?
Wow.
And I remember I did a thing on the radio show, and I said... What was his name? It was JerMichael Finley. No, it wasn't. I forget. And I said, this is God. You're not my gift.
Well, I bet he loved that.
He got really mad about that.
So, JerMichael
Finley. Do you think Jared Goff is the second best quarterback in the NFL? Detroit does. Second highest paid quarterback behind Joe Burrow. It's monopoly money these days. I don't think it even matters how good or bad somebody is. They just throw so much money at these guys, it doesn't matter.
I mean, Joe Burrow.
Yeah. Always hurt. Good, but he's always hurt. But I mean, in a couple of weeks, somebody else will sign a new contract and it'll surpass that. It's mind-boggling. It's beyond belief the money these people are making.
But is that sustainable? I mean, you added all that times 32 and, the ticket prices and the media. They wouldn't pay it unless they could afford it, right?
They still get the highest ratings in TV.
Yeah.
You could have the greatest writers, the greatest director, the greatest producers to try to come up with a TV show. The greatest minds in TV history. You could put them together and say, let's come up with a TV show that's going to get phenomenal ratings. And you know what? It'll come in behind Andrew Corliss. Thank you, whoever sent it in. Andrew, this is God.
Is that what he had on his... He did tattoo that? God's gift? Wow.
You're not my gift. Yeah, he was not happy about that.
No, I bet not. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know that NFL.
They can't tell. The popularity is so immense.
Well, because it's live.
And I'm going to say one other thing, though. Gambling is one of the reasons it's so popular.
True.
Gambling is one of the reasons the NFL is so popular. There it is. Did somebody send that to you, Todd?
I looked it up.
You looked it up? There it is. There's his tattoos. God's gift.
The way you... showed it, like you put out your forearm. I thought it was just this little thing. Those are both arms.
Yeah.
Wow. That guy is.
Yeah.
And what happened to him? I don't even know the guy's name.
Just faded away. Wasn't as good as
God thought.
We thought. Yeah. You're not my gift.
I guess not. You were right. Wow.
Andrew, get rid of those tats now.
Wow.
Yeah. Why? You know what I don't understand? People who get tats that they can't see. Like, tat on the back of your neck. Why? I don't get that. You see girls a lot of times, they'll have tat on the back of their arms. You know, like going down there, the bicep or the tricep or whatever. Why get a tat that you can't see? I don't quite get that.
What do you mean? They do it for attention.
No, they don't do it for attention, but it is to show other people.
Yeah, but once you want to be able to see your tat, like my flying monkey, when I wear sleeveless shirts, I show that. I'm going to come in here sleeveless one day.
Oh, God.
What?
I've never seen the tattoo. I want to see
it. No, we'll pass. Okay, great.
Oh, my shirt's kind of tight.
Yeah.
Those biceps.
Yeah, that's like that. Okay, wow. It's kind of faded a little bit, John.
Yeah. You've kind of faded a little bit, Jim.
Wow. Doesn't look that good on that pale white skin, but that's all right. That's nice. You're happy. How can you see that? That's like over. Well, I guess you can. Okay. Nice. When'd you get that, Johnny?
What year would that? I don't know. 2006, five, somewhere around that.
20 years ago?
Yeah. Well, no. It was more than that. Cause one of the, when we did the branding, it was honor of Mark McGwire hitting 70 home runs. So we had a stainless steel 70 thing we would brand people with. So I want to say it was like 1999.
Oh, wow. 98 or 99. That was a long time.
So that was a long time. So of course it's faded.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow. I thought maybe you're.
Do you have any tats?
No.
Okay.
God, no.
Hey, give me a little quiz here real quick. We had David Marinus come up, the greatest author in the United States history.
Okay.
Give us your little quiz here.
This is on, you're going to know a lot of these.
All right.
But
here we go.
Okay. So you like peanut butter?
Love peanut butter.
I know you
Crunchy
do.
Peanut butter.
Well, I don't know. What is the largest peanut butter brand in the United States?
Jif. That's easy.
Skippy.
Oh. Oh, I hate this when people do questions. They don't have the answers.
I know. No, yep, I do. That. I do.
Grandpa. Grandpa, let me write it down for you.
What do you got?
No, what did I do? No. Oh, what happened here?
This is like him trying to find his phone.
No, it's Skippy, Jif.
Oh, Lord. Can we just hire some of your people?
Hang on. Skippy, Jif. Peter Pan or Justin's? And he said Skip. Todd said Skippy. And you said Jif.
Yeah.
Okay. Now.
Oh, my God.
Just.
Worst radio ever. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world's worst radio show. Brought to you by the former mayor of Green Bay.
Yeah. I don't know what happened here.
What happened?
Brought to you by Buttermilk Biscuits.
Oh, man.
What happens when the mayor doesn't have people to do things for him?
That's the way I am feeling. That is the way I am feeling right now.
This is uncomfortable.
It is.
Oh, my God. Poor Milton.
Oh, back man.
Let's end a break. David Meredith, Ron
Brooks.
I'll
find the answer.
And now back to Fast Food Facts with your host, Jim Schmidt.
Welcome back. I got this. This dude knows everything about every quarterback that ever took a single snap in the NFL but can't remember when he got his tattoo. Good point. I will say this, so you're not supposed to drink, and I kind of did. I drank some Jack Daniels while I was getting it because I didn't know how much it was going to hurt.
Did it hurt?
Not bad.
Okay.
Burns a little bit, but not. These people that get their whole bodies done, it's like, wow. Especially like your neck and those sensitive areas. It's like, ooh.
Oh, I would, yeah. Tender areas.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So we said, what's the largest peanut butter brand in the United States? Todd said Skippy. You said Jif.
Yeah.
All right. You won. Okay. Which fast food chain is known for its curly fries? McDonald's, Hardee's,
Beefaroo,
Arby's.
Arby's.
Burger King.
I meant Arby's. Arby's.
Todd?
Arby's.
It is Arby's, but Hardee's also has curly fries.
Yeah, they
fries.
Do. Yeah.
Well, this says, well, maybe they're not known for that, where Arby's is known for it. So it's Arby's. Okay, well, go ahead. All right, here you go. This one you'll know. Which is the most popular Halloween candy in the United States?
Candy corn.
No. The candy bar.
What a specific candy bar?
So Milky Way bar, Snickers, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
That's from an old Cheech and Chong album. Do you ever used to listen to Cheech and Chong
albums? Yeah, I did.
Name three famous Mickeys.
Don't remember that.
Do you remember that one?
Okay, quick. What
Mickey
is it?
Way?
I'm going to say Reese's.
You are right.
Thank you.
They're coming out with a lot of new ones, though. Have you seen that? A lot of really good Reese's.
Okay.
You know what my favorite thing was when I was a kid? And we used to save the little... Did anybody else do this? You'd save the little things that came with them. It was... I didn't like Mallow Cups. But Mallow Cups and like these... What was it? Scotchies? Was it called Scotchies? It was almost exactly like a peanut butter cup, like a Reese's peanut butter cup. But it was like butterscotch. And you would get these little things... And they would have points on.
Oh, totally.
And we one would be like, that. Remember that?
Yeah, the square little.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, do you remember that, Todd, or you're too young for that?
I don't remember that.
Anybody else remember that?
That was a thing.
That was such a thing.
And you get the 50-pointer once in a while. That was like the max.
God.
But they didn't make that many of those.
No. But normally they'd be like 5 and then maybe a 10. But if you got a 50, it was like, oh, my God. But I want to think, I think they were called Scotchies.
I don't remember
they
that.
Were really, they're butterscotch peanut butter cups. But then there are also Mallow Cups, which I hate because I don't like marshmallows.
No, those are bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody help us out. What was the name of those? Scotcheroos.
But those were.
That sounds more.
But sounds like an alcohol thing. Scotcheroo. I'll take a Scotcheroo.
Okay, you know what, Jim? I can live to 187. I will never be in a bar and say, I'll have a Scotcheroo.
Okay.
That'll never happen.
Tells me you said that.
No,
right.
I don't think
okay,
I ever
right,
have,
here.
Jim.
Okay, the name of which Mexican snack means little cheese thing?
Gorditos.
Nope.
What was the question?
What did you say? The name of which Mexican snack means little cheese thing?
Enchilada.
That's close. Todd?
I'm going to say quesadilla.
You're right. Todd wins. Okay. This one, Johnny will know. Everybody knows.
Wait a minute.
This
what
one.
Was it? What did you say the thing was made? What did it mean? Little thing?
Little cheese thing.
Casa means house. So that means little house.
No, not quesadilla.
Quesadilla.
Not
quesadilla is same thing.
No, it isn't.
It is.
Not
it means house.
Okay, whatever. All right.
What does it mean little house?
It means little cheese thing. Quesa probably
quesa means house.
Quesa is
I
cheese.
I had Spanish
quesa
for
means
a semester.
Yeah, I believe that.
Casa means house. Right. Quesa is, you know, you have like queso
cheese.
Su
casa. Quesa means house. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. This is too easy. All right. Which president's favorite snack was the jelly bean?
Reagan.
Yeah, everybody knows that. Which two countries? Oh, this is a good one. Which two countries claim to have invented French fries? One of you going to know.
Britain.
No, it's not Britain. Two countries, John.
Britain and England.
What?
Well, I'm not going to say France because that's too obvious.
Okay, so one of them is France. It says which two? It's France and what's your other one?
United States.
No, we don't. Are you kidding?
South America.
No, it's Belgium. You're not going to get that.
Belgium?
Okay, all right.
I was going to say Belgium.
All right, here's one for you.
I was going to say Belgium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, we keep going here.
Which of these snacks? Have you ever ordered a drink in like Belgium?
No, I don't think I've been to Belgium.
Or Germany?
Yeah, I've been to Germany.
When they take it, like let's say you order a drink, they go right to, it has to be so perfect, it's unbelievable, where it's not under or above. They got like a little line. It's got to be absolutely perfect, or they like get fired and they lose their thing. Got a text here. This is absolutely riveting, guys.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I got it. So we'll end it then.
Okay.
We'll do two more. All right. Which of these snacks is shaped like a hyperbolic paraboloid?
What? If you can't pronounce the question,
yeah, you can't even ask the question.
Which of these snacks is shaped like a hyperbolic? That's the right word. Paraboloid. Which of these snacks is shaped like a...
What are the choices?
Go ahead. Doritos, Pringles, chips.
I'm going to say Pringles.
You're right. I mean, I'm making up the choices. Okay, I only have the answers here.
My God.
Okay, this is the last one. John, you should know this. What nut is used as an ingredient in dynamite?
I know this.
Yeah, everybody is.
Walnuts.
No.
What is it?
Almond.
What is that?
I mean, peanuts.
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 Dynamite?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. I did not know that.
All right. Okay, I'm not going
to. You know, there used to be.
That guy hurt my feelings. I'm not going to read anymore.
Yeah, they should hurt your feelings. Yeah. It should hurt more than that. You know what? Was it an old wives' tale that the seeds in apples contain cyanide?
I think that's true.
Is that true? Remember that was the old wives' tale? If you eat the seeds of an apple, you'll die?
I don't remember. My mom never said that.
Oh. Just like I used to say, the green part on rutabaga would kill you. Then it turns out it's
you
the
did
leaves.
Say that.
It's
yeah, you did say that.
You,
I remember
right?
that. Okay.
Yeah.
This is the last one because you guys know this. You guys love your music. What peculiar snack requirement was included in the Van Halen tour rider?
M&M's.
Can you give us some clues?
Okay, but it's more detailed than that.
Only green M&M's.
That's Todd's guess is wrong, but it's a good guess.
Okay.
So in the rider, Van Halen said what about it's something to do with M&M's?
Blue.
Nope, no brown.
No brown. Okay.
Okay, so anyway, wasn't that fun?
Yeah, really. Oh my gosh.
Okay, so thanks for staying tuned in. Yeah. That was just riveting, as the caller
said.
For
both of you that are still left, we actually have some interesting things coming up.
We actually do. I mean, this is going to be, this guy's your favorite.
David Marinus, greatest author in America.
Yeah.
Award-winning author, Pulitzer Prize winner for the Washington Post. He's joining us. Ron Brooks from the Whammies. We got the Whammies coming up on Sunday.
In here in Green Bay. Yeah. It's Wisconsin, music.
Absolutely.
It's here at the Epic in Green Bay. And that's going to be the first, the first step in getting a music museum here. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be great. Johnny and I are both going to that. That's going to be fun.
And the real mayor of Green Bay, Eric Genrich,
and he's going to
joining us.
He's going to talk a little bit about the NFL draft update.
Yes, exactly.
And we might hit him up with a couple other questions.
Maybe a lot of them.
No, we got to be nice to him. He's
so
guy.
There you go. So David Marinus, Ron Brooks from the Whammies, and Mayor Eric Genrich coming up.
All right.
There you go.
We'll be right
back. A lot of good stuff. Maybe more Jim's trivia on candy or whatever they.
I gotta. I'll do better. I'm not a game show host.
And you were so excited about that.
I was because I.
He's been wanting to get it on the slot all
week. I know. Yeah, it's all right.
I got these game shows.
Milton, you can't believe I got Milton. Let me run these by you. Just hit your paw twice if you know the answer, Milton. Here you go. Help you.
Did better than you.
Yeah.
All right.
We gotta set our break. Back after this.
The Apple Store or Google Play Store, and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a beautiful Tuesday morning in Green Bay, 43 downtown, 45 in Appleton, 49 in Oshkosh. This weekend looks phenomenal, 80 degrees this weekend. I am so honored, so excited to have one of the people that I just consider one of the great people in the United States of America, who is one of the greatest writers, if not the greatest writer you'll ever find, and he's the most diehard Packer fan in the United States of America, from the Washington Post, Pulitzer Prize winner, David Marinus. David, good morning. Thank you for being on.
Great to hear your voice, Johnny, and you're right about the diehard Packer fan.
I know that. I was actually, David, you were on one of those Sunday morning shows one time. This was years ago, and I was going to call in and just talk to you about the Packers. I didn't know if I would have gotten through the, the
screener.
The screener or whatever, but I wanted to ask you some Packer questions, I think, because you were deep into some political thing or whatever. I just thought that would have been fun to do.
Oh, yeah. No, I would have done it.
I know you would have. David, do you remember the last time we saw each other?
Oh, gosh. Was it when I was doing Thorpe?
Nope. Walter Reed Hospital.
Walter Reed Hospital. Wow.
Remember that?
You were with A.J. Hawk's wife.
Yep.
And I was with Hitman Hart.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
Yes.
And that was somebody
I befriended. I'm not a wrestling guy, but yeah, that was quite an afternoon, wasn't it?
We would walk. Go ahead, Dave.
Every room we walked into, the wounded soldier would break into tears when they saw the hitman. Yeah.
The nurses had to come and tell us, hey, you guys got to calm it down because you're making so much noise. These guys would literally scream. They were so excited to meet him. And these poor young men. Hey, David, how tough.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The shape they were in. But that was really cool that you brought him. That was a really memorable day.
It sure was.
Well, David, obviously I met you when you were here in 96, writing When Pride Still Mattered. Is that right?
That's exactly right. That's the famous line I use where I turned to my wife and uttered the immortal loving words, how would you like to move to Green Bay for the winter? Yeah. But we did, and it was one of the great times of our lives. You know, I don't know if you remember this, John, but we arrived in Green Bay at halftime of the game against the St. Louis Rams. I think they were still St. Louis then. And they were losing. And they came back and won that game and never lost again the whole year.
That's
so
right.
I am the Packers' good luck charm.
That's right. That was just a magical time, wasn't it, David?
Oh, it sure was. Yep.
Well, there's some real estate for sale here. You want to move back? We could use that.
David Marin is joining us. He's written so many phenomenal books. I just got to excuse me for a minute, just being a fan here, David. Obviously, When Pride Still Mattered, the book on Vince Lombardi is the greatest book ever written on the history of the Green Bay Packers. You uncovered things about Lombardi nobody else knew. Your fairly recent book, I just could not put down, Jim Thorpe's biography. It's just amazing. But I got to tell you something, David. I got a really great friend here in town. Well, actually, he lives in Washington. You should. He works. I think it's the Treasury Department is right outside of his window. He's the president of the Indian Gaming Commission for the United States, and he's from Oneida, Wisconsin. Okay.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes, yeah. And his grandma. He talks about with his when he talked with his grandma, and she would talk about. And she went to one of the Indian schools, and she talked about going to a football game where this guy could kick a football further than anybody's ever seen before. And it's you mentioned that in your book, and it was Jim Thorpe. And his grandma used to tell him about seeing Jim Thorpe, and you wrote about it. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. Well, you know, Robert Hill, who's up there, was very helpful as I did this book. As a matter of fact, he's the one who first planted the seed of the idea of me doing it more than 20 years ago.
It's amazing what those young natives went through, isn't it, David? It's horrific.
Yeah, well, the motto of the founder of the Carlisle Indian Boarding School, where Jim Thorpe went and rose to fame, the motto was kill the Indian, save the man, which means take away all of their culture, their language, their history, cut their hair and turn them into, you know, white people. Basically, that was the policy of the United States during that period, which was, in one sense, they thought they were doing right, and they were not. You know, that's such a common problem in history, where people think they have good intentions, and they end up doing something horrible.
And some of them were from Northeast Wisconsin that got taken down there.
Absolutely. Many of them were Oneida. As a matter of fact, there's a, you know, one of the other tragedies of that school is how many of the young Indian students died while they were at the school. And there's a very haunting cemetery that's still there. Right. Many of those, several of those students were from the Oneida Nation in Wisconsin. And it was only in the last 10 years that the U.S. government allowed the Indian nations to repatriate the bones of those children. And some of them were from the Oneida who they came to Carlisle, got the kids back and brought them back to Wisconsin.
Incredible.
Yeah, that Ed, that
by
has,
the way, David, were you the mayor when Packers won the Super Bowl in 96?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, no. my partner here, Jim Schmidt, he was the longest Green Bay mayor for 16 years.
But I was at the Super Bowl in Dallas. So that was Paul Jaden. That was New Orleans you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That was the one in Dallas. And,
okay.
We have the last two mayors experienced Super Bowls. And now we have our current mayor who's coming on our show later this morning. And he wants to go to a Super Bowl, too.
Yeah, we all do.
Well, this could be his year, though, right?
I think so.
You know what I mean? Like, I know John obviously knows a lot more about sports than I do. I know a little bit more about politics, but we really feel like we have the makings to. What do you think? I mean, you obviously still follow the Packers, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. I love this team. I love Jordan Love. And yeah. I think the last three drafts have been phenomenal. I'm very excited about their defense now with the linebackers they acquired. And so, yeah, I think they've got, you know, it's always dangerous to think ahead too much because you never know what's going to happen. But I like the team a lot.
So you're an award-winning author, journalist. Johnny, I can't tell you, and I've worked with John for about a year now, and I'm not kidding you, this is probably the most excited he's Ben to have a guest on. And true. we've had some pretty good guests on. But
that's safe stuff, that knowing how excited John can get.
Oh man, I know, right? Yeah, it's like a little kid at Christmas. Tell me about some of the politics that the politicians you covered. Any
I told him the Bill Clinton story, David.
He did. We won't tell that one. But you know, these politicians are, you know, on the surface, pretty nice people. But you know, you've dug a little bit deeper. Anything you want to share with us? I you've covered what? Clinton, Obama.
Well, I started actually. I've covered starting with Jesse Jackson in 1958. Well, my first actually, I covered Jimmy Carter in 1976. Gary Hart, Jesse Jackson, George W. Wow. Bush, Clinton, Obama, wow. You know, with all of them. And, you know, the one thing they have in common with great athletes is a will, strong will and a strong will to win.
Yeah.
There's a vast, you know, there's a lot of differences between all of them and Lombardi, for instance.
We're talking with David Marinus, award-winning author, journalist, author of When Pride Still Mattered. Go ahead, David. Didn't mean to interrupt.
Just and a lot of politicians. Yes, I just want to say that you talk about the difference in politicians, and I think there's a common thread. They all have a will to win. But yes. When I went to the Super Bowl in Dallas, I was in Jerry Jones invited my wife and I up to his suite, and Jesse Jackson was up there, and so was George W. Bush. Didn't spend a lot of time together, but but Jesse Jackson kept talking about affordable housing, and like I was really there to watch the game. But you know, you want to respect these guys. I mean, they are community leaders. But I just remember I didn't want to walk away from him, but he just kept talking about affordable housing in Wisconsin. I'm like, ooh, let's go watch the game. Anyway. But
yeah, well, that's Jesse. I mean, he's on, you know, he's hard to penetrate into the, you know, I spent a whole year writing about Jesse and admired a lot about him and actually saw America in a way I never would have otherwise, traveling with him to all the black churches around the country.
Oh, yeah.
But it's hard to get him off message.
Oh,
and
boy.
And that's also true for politicians, you know, and that's what drives me crazy. I always want to find the real person, not the message, because the message, you know, even if it's worthwhile, just becomes so rote and not, you know, not real that I'm not interested in that.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, David.
The other thing I'm always trying to do is break through all of the gatekeepers.
Yeah.
You know, they're surrounded by so many people who are worried about what they're going to say or, you know, trying to keep them on that message. And it's not that I'm looking for anything sensational. It's just that I want to find the reality. And you can't do that when they're surrounded by too many people.
You did that with Vince Lombardi. How you did that, I don't know. But you brought the real human Vince Lombardi versus, and no disrespect to Run to Daylight and all these other books that used to be, but you did that, David. You got below that layer, that shell. How did you do that? And what was that like for you discovering these things?
Well, you know, that's sort of what I specialize in, John. But I did it through, I interviewed more than 400 people for that book.
Wow.
I literally moved to Green Bay to sort of feel what it was like there in this one company town in the winter. And also, you know, found a lot of people who were still there, who were there during the Lombardi era. I also moved to New York City, where he grew up, and spent two summers in New York and in Brooklyn, where he grew up, and in North New Jersey, where he spent a lot of years, and then different archives, you know, including I went out to visit with Vince Jr. Several times. He was living in Washington State then, near Seattle, and he took me to his garage, and there were four big cardboard boxes full of his father's effects that Vince hadn't looked at in years, and, you know, it was sort of waterlogged, but it was incredible what I found in there in terms of old letters and notes and game plans and all kinds of things. So, you know, you put all of that together, the interviews, the archival material, and going there, and that's how I do it.
That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible.
And that's got to be everything – it's got to be very, what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, you find something, you want to find something more. I mean, I bet you just took a great interest once you, like Johnny said, you discovered something and then you dig a little deeper and deeper. And I mean, what you find in these people when you dig as deep as you did is, it's incredible. And we appreciate you sharing that with us. Same deal with politicians. Do you kind of break through their shell, or are they a little tougher than some of these athletes?
Well, they're tougher in one sense. If they're still, like, I wrote biographies of Bill Clinton and Barack Obama while they were president of the United States. So you imagine the protection that they had around them. And Clinton in particular was a little bit afraid of what I might find. But what I did in that case was, okay, I'm not going to deal with a moving target of what they're doing as president. I want to figure out why they do what they do. And to do that, you go back into their history and the forces that shaped them. So both of those books are built around that more than their presidency, because I want to understand them. And once you understand somebody, people grow, of course, but you can see patterns that make them predictable. And that's what I try to do with my studies of politicians.
David, we're going to send it to a quick for a 1 minute break. Will you be able to stick around for a few more minutes after that?
Oh, sure.
I got one quick question to ask you, though, because then I want to talk about what is actually my favorite book that you ever wrote, They Marched Into Sunlight.
Oh, sure.
That's
okay.
We'll talk about that, Jim. I want a whole seg just talking about about veterans and Wisconsin and what was going on in this. And the ironic part here, and I'll just give you a preface this a little bit. David was actually a paper boy for the Madison and Milwaukee papers when the riots were going on in Madison, and other guys were fighting in Vietnam at the same time, and how just in bizarre circumstances these people came together. I think that's one of the most amazing stories of all time. David Marinus, Pulitzer Prize winner, Washington Post, author of so many great books, including Vince Lombardi's When Pride Still Mattered, back in 1 minute. Hey, welcome back. Mind on the Mayor here on WGBW. Nice looking Tuesday morning out there. We've got David Marinus from the Washington Post, phenomenal author, joining us. And one of my favorite books of all time, David, is They Marched Into Sunlight. And this was almost a personal story for you in some ways, because this isn't going back to, like you said, New Jersey. You talk about Vince Lombardi from, 50 years prior. This is something you grew up with. Can you describe the passion you had for that book? It's about Vietnam and about the riots in Madison at the same time.
Well, I'm a baby boomer. I was born in 1949, and so the Vietnam War was one of the defining issues of all of us from that era. And I realized that whenever I was doing the other books, like the Lombardi book or even the Clinton book, I became obsessed when I got to that period. So I decided I wanted to write a book just about Vietnam. I knew there was wonderful literature about the war itself, and not as much about the anti-war, but I hadn't seen a book that put the two together. So I decided to write a book that brought these two very different worlds, the anti-war movement and the war itself, into one book and juxtapose them. So what I did was I found a battle in Vietnam that was a hideous battle, where the Black Lions Battalion marched into an ambush, and 60 men got killed and 60 were wounded out of 140. And it would happen the same 2 days as the protests against Dow Chemical Company at the University of Wisconsin campus. And I lived in Madison during that period. And so I put together those two different worlds and how LBJ and the White House dealt with them both. And there's several ironies to it. One is that the protests were protesting against, in essence, not just the war, but against the use of Agent Orange and napalm in that war. And so many of the soldiers that I dealt with, who I became close friends with, eventually died of cancers that were caused by the Agent Orange that they were around. So, there are just so many ways that these two very different worlds connected.
Wow.
But getting to know the soldiers who survived that battle was one of the most important reporting things that I've done in my life, and the way that that book changed their lives because I told the truth about what happened to them.
David, I think I showed this to you one time, and this is something I want to give you. I've got a copy, or it's the original, of the telegram that Vince Lombardi sent to Don Hollander's widow when he was killed. Don Hollander was a famous football player at West Point, played for Vince Lombardi, and he led the charge in this battle. And it's almost, I hate to say it, David, but can't you even see him in his mind saying, you know, Vince Lombardi, you attack, you charge, you know, you don't. And that's what he did, and it probably led to his demise. Wouldn't you agree, being overly aggressive?
Yeah, Donald Hollander, you know, the arena, the basketball arena at West Point is named for him.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He was the captain of the football team. He was actually a great end, but he was such a leader that Red Blake, the coach, made him the quarterback for his senior year, even though he couldn't really throw.
Yeah.
But he was just a great leader and fearless. And that's what led to his death, actually, in Vietnam after this battle was raging. Hollander was a major in a helicopter above the battle and directed it to land, and he charged into the battle to try to help save people, and he was shot down and killed. And not only, John, did you show me the telegram, but even before that, while I was researching the Lombardi book, I found a prayer card that Vince Lombardi had involving the death of Don Hollander. I had that in my files for the Lombardi book. So when I saw that he was killed in this battle, it just sort of gave me the chills and meant that I had to do this story.
Wow. It's a phenomenal book. Phenomenal.
Yeah. How about the spiritual, the religious aspect? I mean, did they share that with you? I just seem to, after you get to know people, they kind of share with you some of their really beliefs or the faith that they have. Did you find that in most of the books, in most of the people that you interviewed, you know, from the politicians to the athletes?
Well, I certainly did with Lombardi, even though I didn't interview him. But I sort of felt like I was an honorary Jesuit by the time I was done. So much of his philosophy of life and coaching was shaped around the Jesuit idea of freedom through discipline, which I write about a lot in the book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you have to really learn something deeply before you can experiment from it. And that's a Jesuit philosophy that he applied to the Packer sweep.
Wow.
Among many other things.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool. So, I did. And, you know, the soldiers, it was fascinating. The ones who survived really struggled with survivor's guilt. And that led to a lot of questioning of religion and then coming back to it as the foundation of why they survived. But
that is a real thing, survivor's guilt.
It sure is.
Wow. Hey, David, Jim and I were talking during the break here. With all the politicians you've interviewed and you live in Washington, you rub shoulders with all these people. If you could just, you know, drop the curtains down or whatever and just sit and have a couple of beers like you and I used to do at Nikki's Bar or something like that back in the day, what politician would you like to just two normal guys having a beer, who would you enjoy spending time with?
Well, the politician that I found the most enjoyable is no longer alive, but it was Morris Udall.
Oh, really?
Who was hilarious and just a good guy in so many different ways. You know, this has nothing to do with ideology or politics, but W is also that sort of guy. You know, I might have disagreed with things he did, but I thought he was an easy one to have a beer with.
Yeah.
Clinton, and, if I weren't a newspaper man, it would have been easier. But he was so skeptical and protective of the press. You know, anybody else he'd try to win over, and he was pretty good at it. You know, walking into any room and persuading all the Republicans in there that they loved him. He could do that. But you cannot do that with reporters.
Wow.
I don't think I could have a beer with Clinton.
Love it. Well, David Marinus, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking the time. Yeah. Do you have another book on the horizon?
Yeah, I'm deep into it, John. It's a biography of Jack Johnson.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes. Of Muhammad Ali 100 years before Ali.
Absolutely. Right. Phenomenal. David Marinus, thank you so very much. And if you ever come up to Green Bay and you want to hang out sometime or something, trust me, I will make sure Jim will buy us lunch.
Oh, yeah, I would love to have a beer with you. That just and
let me tell you one thing. John knows this. When I covered the Packers in 1996, the intern in the press office for the Packers was Aaron Popke.
Oh.
You know, now he runs the joint.
Yeah. He was just on our show last week.
He just mentioned that on our show.
Yep.
David Marinus, thank you so very much.
Yeah,
you're the
thanks,
best.
David. That's great.
Okay.
All right, take care.
Thank you.